Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it is good to be here with Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the earth, the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces for a refuge, is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by altogether. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. We have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So we thank God that we are here on today. It is because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. So we thank God for his grace, and we thank God for his mercy. So it's good to be here. And I think I haven't, this has been, it's been a few months since I've last broadcast, but I am back and I'm thankful for the opportunity, for the platform. And I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory on this platform, Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends, and our Twitter followers. And also, should we have any of our LinkedIn, Instagram followers also on the broadcast. So it's good to be here, and it's a blessing to be able to look into, as James says, the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God. So we're looking in the mirror is what he's calling it. So we don't want to forget, but we want to be like him. We want to see ourselves when we look into the word of God, and we knowing that, no, that be the case, we are growing in him. As Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he talks about putting on charity and all of these things that we should be doing, add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, brotherly kindness, charity, and all these things, patience. Then he said, if you do these things, he that doeth these things shall never fall. So an interest shall be ministered abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're so blessed to be able to be here one more time to get into the word. So I'm endeavoring to continue. I was doing the signs and actually did 12 parts to the end time signs. And so this is the Godhead is my theme, the God who is the head of all things. There is only one person in the Godhead. God can never be confined. He can never be what he is not. But when he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He is always God. He is the eternal God. What's so great about the mystery of Christ? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And Paul says, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, talking about the ministry. He had made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I believe the 19th and the 20th verse. And so it is a blessing to be able to get into the word of the Lord and also to get understanding. As the proverbial writer says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And he goes on to say, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So we want you to know, as we know, according to the word of God, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, and the 4th chapter, beginning at the 4th verse, and down 4, 5, and 6 is what I just read. And so thank God for the position that we have in him. Go back to Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so thank God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he goes on, verse 10, in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So thank God. And so this epistle was written to Gentiles. So thank God that I have the same testimony. I'm not ashamed. As St. Paul said when he heard about the faith of his brethren in Rome, because he didn't start that church, and he went on and he was letting them know that he wanted to go when he heard about their faith and go and impart some spiritual gift to them when he had heard about their faith. I long to see you, he said, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, Romans 1 and 11, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, so that when he was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And so his testimony, his heart, and his position, he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this is what we want to instill in people, in believers, to encourage those who have not believed, to only believe. So we are in part 13. We're talking about the end time signs. So should you you have a question or you have a comment, you are certainly welcome to call in today, January the 29th, 2019, on this live broadcast between the hours of 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we've been dealing with the end time signs. There's so much going on. So it simply put, but it's a lot of information, and that is the days of Noah, the days of Lot, perilous times. Paul wrote to Timothy. John wrote about false. Peter wrote about false teachers. John wrote about false prophets. You know, Peter said false prophets were in the days of old, and false teachers shall be among you. So we have so much going on, and that's why John said in his epistle, 1 John, the 4th chapter, he said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, like I've said before on subsequent broadcasts, I thank God that I'm here. I thank God that I'm a witness. I've been in here in the Apostolic Church, which is a church that believes in the apostles' doctrine. And according to the scriptures, all things were written in the concerning Jesus that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms. This is what Apostle Paul preached. The Acts of the Apostles is where the salvation is plan is broke down. In the Gospels, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said after his resurrection, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this is in Mark 16 and beginning at 15. And then so in Luke, thus it behooved Christ, Luke 24 and 44, it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this is what happened. This is the fulfillment. Acts 2 and 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. They were sitting, and there appeared unto them clothed in tongues, or divided like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was on the day of Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the Passover. Jesus was on the earth 40 days after his resurrection, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He went back to heaven 10 days later. He sent the Holy Ghost, a fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So we have to quit right there, because you go into another dispensation when you keep going. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 was a command that is Paul made to his son in the gospel. And actually, it's a pastoral epistle. It's a epistle that's to ministers. The command is not for everybody to study. Everybody should read God's word and know God's word. But the command is for ministers to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can understand the day that we are living in. There is so much violence going on, perversion. People are perverting the gospel. They're calling money a seed. Money was never a seed. Like I've said before, and I say it and with no fear of contradiction, but a seed is your offspring. As far as people go, a seed is a literal seed that you plant, corn, wheat, grain, whatever sort of grain it is. And a seed is, Jesus said, the word of God. And so this foolishness, these people calling themselves apostles and all of these prophets and all these different people, like the Lord said, they shall arise, shall deceive many. So in the 90s, when all this foolishness started, I've been in here since 1976, and I know what I'm talking about. So I thank God. So you got to have, like the Lord told Joshua, after the death of Moses, only be strong and of a good courage. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And so this is what the warning is at this time, as they say, this season. Yeah, we're in the rapture season. We're in the last days. So this foolishness when they pass same-sex marriage, I think in 2016, I mean, that took the cake, as the old people would say. I mean, this foolishness to desensitize. It depends. My children are adults, so to desensitize my grandchildren and others that are in the age group that I am in, because our children, they know, we taught them that, you know, they know right from wrong. They know that a man can't marry a man or a woman can't marry a woman, not legally in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what man say, but people have set their heart to do whatever they want to do, and so that is the warning. God is not playing when he said three words in the book of Luke, remember Lot's wife. So he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a mystery. Why would a man want another man? That is a mystery. Why would a woman want another woman? You should desire, he made us to desire the opposite sex. And so not just for creation, you know, procreation, as we say, you know, childbearing and all. Some people they've already done that. Like myself, I was married for quite a long time, and my wife passed away, so I remarry. I don't want children, so my children are already grown. So I mean, everybody's situation is different. So we thank God that we are here on this evening, this late this afternoon, depending on where you are. So here we're in the scripture. We're coming out of the 13th chapter of Romans. And so he's talking here, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that was the first and great commandment that they asked Jesus. What was the first and great commandment? He said, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So our relationship is with him is like it should be, then it will flow with our fellow man as it should be. So that is saying it all in that great commandment. And so we continue on here. Love the worker, no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So here's our lesson on this evening. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So what is he talking about initially when people believe the gospel? And they got baptized in the name of Jesus, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. That is the new birth, being born of water, like he told Nicodemus in St. John, the third chapter, and of the Spirit. That is the new birth, water and Spirit. So just like they were baptized into the cloud and in the sea, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talking about the children of Israel back in the days of Moses. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying on the people that should come after him, that believe on him, that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So that was a question that St. Paul asked the disciples in the 19th chapter of Acts. You know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And he asked them about what baptism, and that is what he quoted, what I just said, that they were to believe. And when they heard this, when he told them, to believe on him which should come after him, which is Jesus, who came after John the Baptist, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to go there just so I can read this, because I'm make sure that I say it. I don't want to just be just going so fast. But he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And that is the question that I ask, and I will continue to ask. Is because this evangelistic message, and I care about you, and I'm a true man of God, and you got to have the salvation of God as according to the scriptures, be born of water and of the Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 2 and 38. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, who had the keys, and he goes on to say, for the promises unto you, and to your children, he's talking about the Jews, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So anyway, just go back right to the beginning. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much heard as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, under what then were you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that should they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All the men were about 12. So that is another thing, what apostles could do. They could lay hands on people, and they would receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter had the keys. He was an apostle. So there are no apostles today. They actually did miracles. They were eyewitnesses. Apostle Paul saw the Lord. That was one of the signs of being an apostle also. You had to see the Lord. He chose you. He personally taught you. You were eyewitness. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they all died a horrible death except for John. And Apostle Paul gives his testimony in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and he solidifies what I just said when he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That means they're in their graves. And that after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Then he goes on, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And he goes on to say, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. So that's what's so important, that you believe. And so this is what we must do. And so time is short. I've heard things that I've never heard. The Lord has a set time when he is going to appear and take his church out of here. Now, you got people teaching that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. You got people teaching that the church is going to go through half of it, and then they won't be here for the great tribulation period. But that the scripture does not teach that. But the scripture teaches that God didn't appoint us, has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to get an understanding of what the scripture is saying. So as we have been saying, making mention about these things, that we dealt with the mystery of iniquity, the man of sin, I believe in the last time and maybe the time before that. So you don't hear the people teaching these kinds of things. All they're trying to do, what their focus is on, they're trying to get money. And I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not afraid. And I'm going to tell it. God gives me breath and strength, and I'm going to tell it. And that is the truth. But anyway, as we go on here, so he's talking here, when he's talking in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So this is talking about the second coming, when the inflaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on here. Now we beseech you, this is 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, neither by word, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, Yet with you I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So remember, we were talking about this, but these things, when he say only he who, but he that letteth, who only he who now letteth, that word letteth means hindereth, will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. So the only reason why the enemy cannot work like he really wants to work is because he is hindered by the church still being in the earth, by the prayers of the people of God, by the Holy Ghost still in the earth. He cannot work like he wants to work. But it's just like we said, we've been dealing with before, of the violence that is in the land, just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Lot. We have these things that are going on, as we said, about also that in the last days perilous times shall come. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And he goes on here. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we know these things are happening, and it's getting worse and worse. You cut on the news. People don't like to watch the news because they get it's depressing. It's disheartening. I mean, it's grievous, but you got to know what's going on around you. And then sometimes things happen. It's just, it opens up like a book. If you know what the word says, then you realize what time it is. And so there's no sense that God don't want us to have blinders on us either. But in the days of Noah, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Genesis 6 and 12. For all flesh hath corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Don't that sound familiar? Through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But then we want to go up farther, actually. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. So you got people, all kinds of things are going on, wickedness in high places, be it spiritual, be it government, people getting caught doing things, people are lying, they call it singing when they get, because they don't want to go spend a lot of time in the slammer, as they say. So they sing. That means they squeal, they tell, they rat, as they call it, on others, because don't nobody want to go down by itself. And these people in high places in government, they have millions of dollars. And I mean, it's a shame before God, but the Bible is being fulfilled, and these are the last and evil days, like they used to say when I came in 1976. They said last and evil days is really dark now. People used to say this is a dark day. The numbers of them are sleep in Jesus, they're asleep in their graves, waiting on the Lord to make the shout, to rapture the church out of here. And they said these things back then, and it is dark now. Sure enough, it is dark. And so he says, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So that is exactly what he did. And so we can see the parallel even now. Just if it ain't one thing, it's another. I mean, the devil is a real fool, and he don't care. He's a thief. He sinned from the beginning. He is a liar from the beginning. He sinned from the beginning, as the word of God says. So he doesn't care about no one. He doesn't care about our children. Who would have thought that people would be going in schools and taking revenge and shooting up our children? But the devil is a murderer. He doesn't care. He knows he's lost, and he want to deceive, and he want to take everyone that he can with him. And he wants to create chaos. He wants to create fear. So that's why Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So say what God says. Don't be afraid. The answer is Jesus. Safety. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And so we can do what he says. We can be under the covert of his wing. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God is our protector. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our high tower. He gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. So you see so much going on. Little fender bender. People get in road rage. Just go to pieces over stupidity. I mean, it's a little minor thing that could have been dealt with. People getting felonies and whatever kind of misdemeanor and get a record over craziness. And just thank God in that situation that happened, the man was riding on the hood of the car, that nobody got hurt. It's just the grace of God that, as bad as it was, and it was frightening for people to see that, but it's a sign of the times is what it is. So you got all this kind of foolishness, pornography on Twitter, and it is just crazy. I mean, it's just foolishness. You have to block stuff off of your social media. Just all kinds of things are going on because people are doing all kinds of things. So they don't care. The devil don't care who he hurts. You know, that is just the way that it is. And so God is not playing. He's already deep. And people don't believe. So the thing is, just like it was to Israel, they had a problem. That problem was they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And so they were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this is what the writer goes on to say. He is our God, we are his people, the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation at the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works, 40 years, as I grieve that this generation said, it is a people that err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. And so it is. The worst sin in the world is one word, unbelief. And so people don't believe. So the unbelieving are going to have their part with the liars and the adulterers and the idolaters and all of these people in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we can, you know, people can lie to man. They can lie to the country or whatever. But God see through that foolishness. You ain't going to lie to God. That's what Peter did, told Ananias and Sapphira in the fifth chapter of Acts in the early days of the church. That it had nothing to do with no tithes. You know, people try to throw that in. They had nothing to do with that. They lied to the Holy Ghost because they sold some property and they conspired about the money. So that's why he was saying it was yours. You could have did what you wanted, you know, but you didn't lie to man. You lied to God. So that's the point. They lied to the Holy Ghost. So got to be honest, you know, word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick means alive. Sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirits, joints and marrow, and is a discerner, talking about the word of God, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Writer goes on to say, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. So his eyes are everywhere in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And not only that, his eyes are everywhere in every place, but he got people, places. People see things also. So you can't get away. So you have to be honest. So this the violence, as we mentioned, that's when they were asking. And so we make reference to the 13th chapter of Mark, the 17th chapter of Luke, the 21st chapter of Luke, the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the Timothy, when he says perilous times shall come, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies into hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, and forbidding to marry, and commanding people to abstain from meats, which God has made every creature is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So this is in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. So here. So he's talking about truth here. Then also, we were in the book of 2 Peter, also talking about the last days and things that were happening, and also in John's epistle, what I just quoted earlier in the beginning of the broadcast, but I believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then he goes on, hereby we know the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What is that saying? That is saying that he is the incarnate. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. So people try to act like that because they don't understand. The 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So people think if you give praise to Jesus, if you acknowledge Jesus, that you don't have the Father. And I mean, that is, they don't understand. They weren't taught. They have no understanding. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. So you got to understand the oneness. And you can't understand the oneness. If you have the Father, you have the Son. You have the Son, you have the Father also. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. So you have to get understanding. It has to be taught to you. And God has to open up your understanding or make known, or it comes by revelation. God has to reveal. Everybody don't know who Jesus is, if especially if it haven't been taught. But it has to be revealed by the Holy Ghost. And so it's a lack of teaching on today, breaking up the scriptures to people like we got what happened with us. I mean, they told us, read the book of Acts. The things we did, we got in them letters. They broke it up. You know, they broke it up like it was, because that is the children's bread. The letters are written to people who were already saved. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are, there's only one gospel. Those were four gospel writers. They were still under the law during Jesus' earthly ministry. The New Testament church didn't begin until after the day of Pentecost. So in other words, he was crucified, he rose from the dead, he was on the earth for 40 days, speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God, told the people to go back to Jerusalem, wait till they be endued with power from on high, wait for the promise of the Father in the first chapter of Acts, which saith he, you have heard of me. And he went on to let them know, John truly baptized with water, you shall be baptized not many days hence. And so during that time now, remember, he was still on the earth before he ascended up after the 40 days. And so they asked him a question in the first chapter of Acts. Lord, Acts 1:6, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those words. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. The angels, two men in white apparel, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up shall come in like manner. So in the book of Jude, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That is literally the second coming, the appearing to take the church. He's not coming to the earth. We're going to meet him in the air. So a lot of people don't get that, and they don't like it if you tell it. But I heard somebody, and you got so many people in this day explaining the Bible away because they don't understand. So that's foolishness. They will be right here. Because they're a deceiver, they're antichrist, they don't believe. So that's why it's so important in the book of Deuteronomy, when it said, teach the words of this law to the Israelites, teach it to thy sons and thy sons' sons. What did Paul tell Timothy? The things which you have heard among me, heard of me among many witnesses. He went on to let him know, commit to faithful men. So in other words, what I'm teaching you, what this word says, teach it, commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So that is why I can do what I'm doing, because I have been taught. I couldn't do this if I hadn't been taught, because that's the way God does it. He gave some, Ephesians 4:11, some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. He goes on to say, (clears throat)
unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That word grow up means mature. That word perfect is maturity. So people don't like that word when Apostle Paul said, be perfect. You know, take a scripture that he said that not as though he was already perfect, but at the end of that same chapter in Philippians, he said, be perfect, be mature. St. Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. That was one of the first things that caught my attention when I was a baby saint, about perfection. So biblical perfection is maturity. You don't want to be retarded, a retarded saint, ain't going nowhere. So there's greater things, but you have to understand the, like Peter says, as sincere babes, about getting the milk of the word, that you may desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow up thereby. That's what you do, like a bird. They get fed by the mother. And when they grow up, then they can go out and get their own food. But in the church, we get fed, we're mature, then we can teach others. Because it's not what we think, not what comes out of our mind, not what you learn in school, and because God hid it from the wise and the prudent, he revealed it unto babes. There's many theologians, what makes the difference, even in our day, that people who do go to seminary, is what makes the difference is revelation. God is a revealer. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he can reveal himself to you. So that is what makes the difference. So that's why he said in the book of Isaiah, to whom shall he give to understand doctrine? You cannot understand. That's paramount. That is key. You cannot understand doctrine, not what he's talking about, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he hid it. So that's why he was saying it was precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken. So because they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. And so what this is, the Lord poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers and seers hath he covered. This is talking about Israel. And the vision of all has become like unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. So there it is right there. They can't get it. It's sealed. Which men deliver to one that is learned, that is intellectual, saying, read this, I pray thee. He said, I cannot. It is sealed. So here it is, the same book. The book is delivered unto him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. So why can't they get it? It's because it is sealed. So that's why he said in Isaiah 28, the 28th chapter of Isaiah, as he talks about, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he give, he make to understand doctrine? Isaiah 28:9. So, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So, what is he talking about? Knowledge and doctrine. Then he goes on here, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That's the Holy Ghost. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So that's why I read that scripture. The word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto you. But we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone tried and precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And so it's hid. He hid it from the wise and the prudent, and he revealed it unto babes. And so this is what we have to do. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Matthew 11 and 28 is such an important scripture. And see, this is why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. When he said, hath been said of old, about how you should love your neighbors and hate your enemies. And he went on to say, but I say. So that is what makes the difference. That's the plumb line, what Jesus says, but I say. So many times he said that. And so this is, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Because he was talking to Capernaum, those people that were in that dark place. Though he goes on here, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we need to listen to him if we want to get what we need and realize what time it is. Assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord. Well, thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so, just remember the word that I put out and that I try to admonish everyone under the sound of my voice on today, that we are living in the last days, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, saith the writer, St. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome. It is later than what we think. It's not going to get any better. So we're living in a crooked and a perverse generation. We're living in a dark day. We are living in the last days when people do things. They think they're going to get away, but God is not playing. So these things are not going to get any better. It's the violent, crooked, and perverted generation. All kinds of people are coming out of the woodwork, but we can rest assured that God is not the author of confusion. So many have their own vision. They want to do this and that, and it is not according to the word of God. But everything that we do, we must measure up to and according to the word of God. That is how we have truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is how we're going to have truth. When the word is rightly divided, we will have truth. And so the truth is in Jesus. So we have to do what he says if we want to get out of here and have eternal life and be with him forever. So thank each and every one of you on today. And remember, I ask the question that I always ask, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.